Well, a very good morning, friends, and welcome to another Technical Thursday with me, Rocky Stevenson, pastor of Benoni Bible Church. Today we take a bit of a look at the book of Proverbs. It's really the doorway of Hebrew wisdom, and we're going to look into this marvelous book. I want to give you a clear map of the book's purpose, the main theme, where it comes from, who contributed to it, and then three short anchor passages from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the Bible I prefer to use, and that will carry you even into this week. So I want to start where the scripture really speaks there in the book of Proverbs, and what a joy it is to do Bible overview with you every Technical Thursday. Proverbs is wisdom literature. That's the kind of book that Proverbs is. It is practical, it is moral, it is theological teaching that is designed to form the heart and to really shape the conduct of God's people. The book itself actually announces its aim. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. It was written to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the words of understanding." You see that in Proverbs 1 verse 1 to 2. I want to read to you Proverbs 1 verse 1 to 7. God's word reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and discipline, to understand the sayings of understanding, to receive discipline that leads to insight, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the youth, knowledge and discern and discretion. Let the wise man hear an increasing learning, and a man of understanding will acquire guidance, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles." And listen to verse 7, which is such a key passage, which I'll mention a bit later as well. "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Ignorant fools despise wisdom and discipline." Let me read that again because it's so critical for us. "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Ignorant fools despise wisdom and discipline." I want to remind you also that I've done the series on the book of Proverbs when we did Wisdom Wednesday. We looked at it thematically, but this is overview. And I want you to see the overview because when you understand the overview of the Bible, it's so helpful for us because then we're able to love the Bible more and we understand what is a passage or what does a book actually speak about. So let's think about who wrote the book of Proverbs and how it was formed. Solomon is named as the primary source to the book of Proverbs. The book begins with the Proverbs of Solomon. That's verse 1 of chapter 1 of Proverbs. And much of the short pithy material, especially Proverbs 10 verse 1 to 22, Proverbs 10 all the way through to chapter 22 verse 16, and even large parts of chapter 25 to 29 is traditionally associated with Solomon's wisdom. But Proverbs is also a collection. And that's helpful to realize. So it's not just the writing of Solomon, but it is a collection, a compilation of various authors as well. And they are named Agur, for example, in Proverbs 30 verse 1, and the sayings of King Lemuel, taught by his mother, Proverbs 31 verse 1. And the text itself also records an editorial stage, where it says this in Proverbs 25 verse 1. So Proverbs 25 verse 1 shows you that there's an editorial element to the book of Proverbs. "These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, compiled." And so at one stage in the book of Proverbs, there were men underneath King Hezekiah that collected some of the things that Solomon had written before. And we see a compilation of that in Proverbs 25 verse 1. Onward. So in short, Solomon or some Solomonic wisdom is at the very center of the book of Proverbs. It's compiled and it's transmitted across generations in Israel, and largely within the royal as well as the teaching circles in Jerusalem. But remember the dual authorship of any book of the Bible, because the Bible, the scriptures, are God-breathed, as we see in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and verse 17. So this is dual authorship. God is the one who has inspired the Word of God. He has also inspired the compilation of the Word of God. Remember, as we were looking at this, at the Psalms, there were 150 chapters in the book of Psalms written over 1,000 years in 5 different books that make up the Psalms, but it's a compilation of that which is inspired and also ordered by the God who ordered the heavens and the earth. He's the one that put the stars in the right place. He can put God's word together in the way that he has intended for it to be put together. And this is absolutely marvelous when you consider it. It's one of the greatest proofs of just the the authority and the inerrancy of the Word of God, that you have this wonderful unity of the Scriptures, even in a book like the book of Proverbs, when there's a compilation of things that have been written at different times and by various different authors, but yet all having the same major theme. So remember the dual authorship element to the book of Proverbs. This is God-breathed, and this is written down by men. I want you to think also a little bit about the dating. If you ask for precise dating of the book of Proverbs, the scripture doesn't actually give us a precise date, but more like a range rather than a single stamp. Much material is Solomonic, which is the 10th century BC. That's how long back, almost 1,000 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, while the copying and even the arranging by Hezekiah's men point to that later editorial work around the time of King Hezekiah. So the message of Proverbs is absolutely timeless. While we respect the historical context, the canonical text is given by to instruct each generation. I want to give you a little bit of a map through the book of Proverbs, and this is a bit of a chapter breakdown. So if you do take notes, take down these notes, you can always listen to this later, but this is helpful just as you listen. Proverbs 1 to 9 is really the extended instruction and even the speeches of wisdom. And then you see that wisdom personified in chapter 1 to 9 of the book of Proverbs. Then you have the next section, which is chapter 10, all the way through to chapter 22, verse 16. So that's another major section in the book of Proverbs, where you have the short, pithy, Solomonic Proverbs, where you have these two-line maxims all the way through that whole section. You could go through that bit by bit slowly with your children, for example, and draw out so much wisdom from these short, pithy, Solomonic Proverbs. Then you have Proverbs 22, verse 17, all the way through to Proverbs 24, verse 22. And this is the sayings of the wise. It is a bit of a longer instructional material. Again, it's helpful to take the whole section that is dealing with that topic and then to deal with that. And you can work that through even with your wife or with your children as well. And then you have Proverbs 24, verse 23 to 34. So that's a bit of a short section, but it's really further collected sayings. And then Proverbs 25 all the way through to Proverbs 29. And we have again more Proverbs of Solomon explicitly copied by Hezekiah's men. Then you have the sayings of a guru, Proverbs 30. And then the sayings of King Lemuel in Proverbs 31, verse 1 to 9. And the last section of the book of Proverbs is Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 31, which is the acrostic poem. In other words, it goes through the whole of the Hebrew alphabet, showing us the woman of valor. Now, many people say, I would love to have a Proverbs 31 wife. Well, then you need to be a Proverbs 1 all the way to 30 man, if you are to be a Proverbs, have a Proverbs 31 wife. But that's really the Proverbs 31 woman section from verse 10 to 31 of Proverbs 31. And it's magnificent to behold and wonderful to go through and to see the way in which wisdom is almost personified even there with the woman that is of great valor in that section. If we're thinking about the book's central theme of the book of Proverbs, if I were to give you Proverbs in one sentence, it would be something like this. True wisdom begins with reverent submission to God. Let me repeat that. True wisdom begins with reverent submission to God. The book insists that the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, as we looked at in Proverbs 1 verse 7. Wisdom is not cleverness, it's not technique, but it is a life that is formed by covenant faithfulness to Yahweh in every single area of life. Wisdom governs our speech, the work that we do, the way we do our work, the wealth that we have, and the way we manage our wealth in our homes, and the relationships that we have, whether it be between husband and wife, or parents and children, or between us and other people. This is what this wisdom does for us. When you have the fear of Yahweh, it is the beginning of knowledge. So what's Proverbs about? True wisdom begins with reverent submission to God. That's where you have wisdom really begin. Here's just three short verses that are so helpful to remember. And really, there's so much in the book of Proverbs, but these are three favorites. And if you commit this to memory, it's so helpful. Proverbs 1 verse 7, as we've mentioned already, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Ignorant fools despise wisdom and discipline. That verse is really the book's thesis. Wisdom starts with reverent awe of God. That's where it begins. Another passage to remember is two verses in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6, which says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Those two verses really show what wisdom looks like in the Christian life. It is wholehearted trust, not self-reliance, and it is daily acknowledgement of Yahweh's rule. And then another one to remember is right at the end of the book, Proverbs 31 verse 10, "An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above pearls." And that acrostic section in Proverbs 31 really celebrates the faithful household leadership. The poem lifts up godly strength that is expressed in concrete service and fear of Yahweh kind of a character. Don't you want to be a person that has a fear of Yahweh kind of a character? Don't you want to be a Proverbs 1 to 30 man and a Proverbs 31 woman? Well, you can if you will have the fear of Yahweh, which is the beginning of wisdom. I want to give one or two cautions when it comes to reading and understanding the book of Proverbs, because it's helpful for us when we want to apply the Proverbs. And here's the first one. Not every proverb is an unconditional promise. That's helpful to realize. Proverbs state general moral principles. If, for example, diligence tends to bring plenty, or foolish speech brings trouble. But life's fallen reality means exceptions do exist to this. We must avoid turning every single proverb into a formula. We ought to compare related sayings, for example, the pragmatic advice that we have in Proverbs with the nuanced teaching of the book of Ecclesiastes. We also have all of the epistles of the New Testament, the book of James, which is the New Testament wisdom literature, and we can see much more than what we were able to see in Israel's history, for example, because remember that Israel was a theocracy when even the book of Proverbs had been given, and we are in the Gentile world as Christians shining in the as light in the darkness. That doesn't mean that the truths of Proverbs are not true. It means that there are some exceptions to some of the pragmatism that is in the book of Proverbs. The next thing to keep in mind is that wisdom is formed in the home and the community. Proverbs repeatedly addresses fathers, mothers, and the youth. We see this in Proverbs 1 verse 8-9. The church itself ought to actually reclaim the home as the primary school of godly formation, because that's God's way. The third thing to keep in mind is really the personification of wisdom. Proverbs 8 speaks with majestic language, and many Christians have often seen Christ as the ultimate fulfillment of that divine wisdom. And I would be careful about just directly applying Proverbs 8. Yes, our Lord Jesus was the most wise man that ever lived, but we must not press the personification beyond what Scripture warrants. Wisdom themes actually continue throughout the New Testament. James actually applies wisdom in the church in practical terms. We can ask for wisdom, James 1 verse 5. We must live wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, and full of mercy, James 3 verse 13 to 18. The Lord Jesus embodies true wisdom in his person and in his work. So Christians should read Proverbs through the lens of Christ's finished work. May the Lord help you. I did want to give one or two other practical elements, but that's enough for today as I see our time is up. May the Lord bless you as you think through the book of Proverbs. Amen.